Just prior to our reading from John 19, in John 18, we read that this afternoon, you get a little bit more of this exchange between Pilate and Jesus. Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" When Pilate asks that question, "What is truth?" I don't think that he is having some sort of philosophical, existential crisis. I don't think he's trying to play a game with Jesus to see what Jesus's thoughts on epistemology are. I think rather he is simply frustrated at the fact that obvious things, truthful things, are being ignored, and everyone is pretending instead like falsehoods are true. What even is truth? It sounds actually like something that you might hear today. In a world where we apparently cannot tell the difference between boys and girls, in a world where child sacrifice is called progress for women, where two men committing abominable acts, often preying on young children, is called love and marriage, where tolerance is being intolerant of anything except for what the mass media tells you, when justice often means letting debauchery run wild while morality is persecuted, when words basically seem to have the opposite meaning of what they used to say in the dictionary. You might also, like Pilate, throw up your arms and say, "What even is truth anymore?" In the course of questioning Jesus, Pilate was insistent on two basic truths. Jesus was, in fact, the King of the Jews, and he found no guilt in him. Pilate could see in his experience in life as the Roman governor. He could see with his own eyes and hear with his own ears that Jesus spoke as one with authority. He had probably seen over the years how Jesus preached in the synagogues, taught many people, performed miracles. And he was a learned man, so he probably even knew about these Jewish people's religion and their promise of a coming Messiah. And to an outsider even, it was so plainly obvious, prophecy after prophecy fulfilled left and right, prophecies from the Old Testament about Jesus being fulfilled by Jesus. It was him, wasn't it? Isn't this who they had been waiting for? He was their so-called king. And he could also see that Jesus was innocent. He was, in fact, legitimately confused as to why the Jews would even put Jesus on trial. What is the charge? He hasn't broken any Roman laws, and he seems to be exactly what the Jews had said that they were waiting for. And so over and over again throughout the Passion, you can see Pilate saying, "I find no guilt in him." He even tries to get him acquitted on the technicality of the tradition that at the Passover, one prisoner would be released, but instead the Jews demand that to be an actual murderer, a proven robber, Barabbas. despite it being so clear to even an outsider. The Jews continually insist he is not their king and that he is guilty of a crime. And much like in our society today, when definitions are changed, I don't think it was so much for the Jews that they were actually convinced of the obviously false ideas. Of course, there are some that are taken away completely by demonic ideas. Maybe they are even possessed by demons. But for many, I think they have simply accepted the teachings of demons. They have simply accepted falsehoods as true, as a sort of justification to do what they want to do, even though they know it's wrong and false. I think that's what was going on with the Jews in Jesus' day. I think they know exactly who Jesus was and what he came to do. They simply did not want to give up their Pharisaical way of life and the money they were making in the temple to bow down and worship the true Lord. And so, fulfilling the scriptures, they crucified him, the ones he came to save. Take, for instance, the way that they respond to certain things. When Pilate insists that Jesus is the king of the Jews, they cry out, "We have no king but Caesar." Don't say that he was king of the Jews. Say he said he was king of the Jews. Did those high priests, the Sanhedrin, the learned men of Israel, did they really think that Caesar was a descendant of David and thus their rightful king? Of course that was false. Did they not know the prophecies concerning the king of not just the Jews, but of the nations, being born of a virgin? Had they not heard of Isaiah 7 and Isaiah 9, or Psalm 2, or Psalm 110, and compared those to Jesus' life and teaching? The truth is, they knew exactly who he was. He was their king. He was the king of nations, and they did not bow down to him. Or consider even how after they crucified him, and after he died, and after they had won the battle, after they had defeated their enemy, after they had killed the criminal, and put him in a tomb, why were they so worried about Jesus' prophecy that he would rise in 3 days? Why did they put a guard in front of the tomb and seal it with a heavy rock just so that there would be no chance of supposedly his followers coming and taking away his body and spreading the rumor that he had risen from the dead? Why, when they could have relaxed having crucified him, were they worried? Because they knew who he was. They knew he was God. And they knew it might be very true that he would be raised from the dead in 3 days like he was. But even though the Jews openly lied about what they knew, and Pilate was utterly confused by all of it, there was one who came to bear witness about the truth. Jesus said, "For this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world, to bear witness about the truth. And those who are of the truth, they hear my voice." You can see it in his passion, as we've read both last week and this week. Jesus came to tell the truth. You can see it when he has to obviously over and over again affirm people who say truthful things. When Judas asks him, Is it I who will betray you, Lord? Jesus says, you have said so. When the high priest says, I adjure you by the living God to tell us whether or not you are the Christ, the Son of God, Jesus says to him, you have said so yourself. And finally, when Pilate asked him, are you the King of the Jews? Jesus says, it is as you say. Jesus is truthful. Whenever the truth comes out, he affirms it simply. Whenever he is called to, he speaks it simply. He is in himself, John says, the way, the truth, and the life. And so, dear saints, today, Good Friday, the day on which Jesus hung upon the cross, it is a day of truth-telling. So let's tell the truth together. Let's not mince words or mumble or change definitions. God's word is clear. And his word is this. All of you, like sheep, have gone astray. Myself included, going on our own way, trying to find life and truth in ourselves. You are a sinner. You have sinned against God in thought and word and deed, by actions and things done and left undone. You have not loved God with your whole heart or loved your neighbor as you should. And for that, God has wrath. He is a just God. He has wrath against sin and is justly angry at the world that he created turning against him. And so say it. Admit it. Admit what you deserve. Admit the darkness in your heart. And come tonight in this darkness and nail that sin. Nail those temptations and evil desires to this cross. To that cross. Here's another truth, where Jesus died in your place. Even though Pilate knew he didn't deserve it, God worked through Pilate to make it happen. And like a lamb led to the slaughter, that perfect, spotless lamb, Jesus put on himself on that cross, took on himself the wrath of God. He drank of the cup of wrath that was to be poured out for nations, and he took on himself your sins, every single one of them. We don't have enough nails in this building to fill up the cross with all of the sins that you've committed and all of the sins which you will commit, but that's how many, and not just for you, but for the whole world, that's how many sins Jesus died for on the cross. So come and put a hole in that cross tonight, because there he took it for you. He took it for you, and you can see that in the hole that was put into his side, pierced with the spear after he gave up his last breath. For from that hole flowed out of that cross, from that Jesus, from the Lamb of God, from the Righteous One, righteous blood and righteous water. Blood flowing into the cup on this altar. Blood flowing into this font. And water. Water and blood to wash away your sins. Water and blood to make you clean. Water and blood to be spread on you as a spread with the hyssop branch to make you white as snow, as the psalm says. Because he wanted to give you, yes, even 2,000 years later, you sitting here in these chairs, his righteousness, his mercy, his grace. And that is all simply, hear this, true. Those are the simple truths of Good Friday. They are very clear in his word. They are very clear from the one who has proven himself true and proven himself faithful. So many people want to deny it. But even those who deny it know deep down it's true. Jesus has done what he said he would do. The prophecies have been fulfilled. He is trustworthy. And you, dear saints, you are of the truth. You hear the one who bears witness to the truth, and you know his voice, for you are his sheep, and he is your good shepherd. And so listen to his voice tonight. Listen to his voice every day, and it will tell you the truth. It will say to you, my child, I love you, I forgive you, I died for you today. To him be all the honor and glory now and forever. Amen.